Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to ask kind of a weird question to begin. Moms, would you like it if your husband referred to you as a tent? I would guess probably not. Is it a two-person? Six-person? I don't think you'd like to be called a tent. And yet, Mary became a tent for God. Follow me on this. I know it's a little weird. See, in the Old Testament, with our reading today, Nathan and David and God are all having this conversation about God's presence and where God dwells. And since the removal of the people, or the rescue of the people from Egypt by God, that God has sort of dwelled in various places. He's been mobile. He's followed where the people have gone, or people have followed where he went, according to the pillar of cloud. And once he gave them the instructions to build the tabernacle, there was a tent where the presence of God would be made known by the cloud that came down, and there it would be. And when the cloud got up and moved, well, the people got up and moved, and here is this mobile God. And this conversation that David and Nathan and the Lord are having, David's saying, well, now I've got this palace, this wonderful house, and yet the ark where God dwells is still in a tent, still mobile. And we've sort of planted ourselves in this place, and I think we need to build something to house God. And God says to him, no. I'm not going to be housed in something made by human hands. It's not how God works. That's not how I work. You have got yourself this place, and I'm going to establish your name, and your kingdom will extend, and we know that Jesus becomes part of that lineage and the kingdom that has no end, and yet God still dwells in a tent. God is still mobile. God is not contained by anything that we can build or make. No matter how much we think we can, to use a very overused phrase, put God in a box, you can't put God in a box. He simply won't stay there because God is mobile. So now Gabriel comes to Mary and he says to her, you're going to become a tent. You're going to become the dwelling place of God. When the Holy Spirit overshadows you and you conceive this Son who is the Son of the Most High God, you will become the tent. You'll replace the Ark of the Covenant. You replace the tabernacle. You replace everything that God has dwelled in before, and now he will dwell in you, Mary. You will become a tent for God. And Mary's, of course, not understanding exactly what this all means, and probably at some point kind of came to the realization of all the things that were going on, and yet still was willing to be the tent for God to dwell in as he grew and was formed in her womb, just like every one of us. But she was the tent of the Holy Spirit, the tent of the Son of God, the tent of God. Again, replacing the ark, replacing the tabernacle, replacing any other place that we thought as human beings we could contain God, and yet there he was in her from the very beginning. Now, we all know how the story goes, and if you don't, come back tonight. You'll hear some more of it. We know how Jesus, then, once he was born, became the dwelling place of God. He was God in the flesh, and everywhere he went, God was. Everywhere he showed up, the kingdom of heaven was there. That God can never, never be contained. Now, what does that have to do with us? Well, for those who are baptized in faith and have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, you are all tents for God. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. He's not dwelling here, as in, you know, come back tomorrow and God will be waiting for you. He dwells in here, in each and every one of you. The Holy Spirit has taken up residence by faith in you. You carry him wherever you go. You are the pillar of cloud, the pillar of flame, whatever the case may be. Where you go, the presence of God goes, because he is dwelling in you. There's no need for an Ark of the Covenant, despite what Indiana Jones has to say. There's no need for a tabernacle, despite what some churches have. There's no need or no place to contain God. You can't do it. He chooses to reside in you, believe it or not. He chooses to make you his tent. You, of all people. Me, of all people. Now notice, Mary is nobody special at the beginning. She's just a girl growing up in Nazareth who gets betrothed to be married, just as most other women did and men in that day. That's what happens. Nothing special until God shows up and chooses to dwell in her. Notice, she was not one praying, Lord, give me a child, as so many in the Old Testament used to do. We don't even know the whole story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, and she was called barren. She couldn't have children, and she was upper level in age. And yet God said, I'm going to show what I can do. God chooses to dwell in you, to make his residence your heart, to make your life his display of the work that he does. Now, I don't know if you're a nylon tent or a canvas tent or what kind of tent you are, but God dwells in you. So when you're gathering with other Christians, the body of Christ gathers together, and this becomes the house where all of the tents are under one roof, gathered together. And when you go from here, you pack up the tent and you take it with you. You might forget your glasses or something, but that's okay. God doesn't need your glasses to see. You take the tent with you when you go out. Wherever that tent goes, throughout this country, the presence of God goes throughout this country. And you may not feel worthy, just as I'm sure Mary didn't feel worthy at the beginning of it all. After all, I'm only a virgin, she says. I'm not really equipped for this. How many of you felt worthy, or even now feel worthy, to carry God with you wherever you go? Certainly not me. I don't feel worthy, and in fact, I there are times I'd rather not, because of decisions I make or things I say or do not represent him well. We may not feel worthy. And truth be told, as sinful human beings, we're not. And yet, this divine God that we have dwells in the messes of our tents. Wherever we go, so that his forgiveness can be shown, his grace can be shown, his mercy can be known, and his love can spread. So now, I don't know if you want to be called a tent. I probably wouldn't say that to each of you individually, and I'm not calling Cindy one. But as those who carry the Holy Spirit in this season and always, we go with the love of God to be shared with the world around us. Not contained in one little spot, but spread wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace that is ours in Christ guard and keep our hearts always in the one true faith to life everlasting. Amen. Again, in the bulletin, the offertory is out of place, and so we are going to go to the prayers of the church first, which follow the offertory in our bulletin. We'll work through this. I think it's in the right place next week. So on page 8 is the prayer of the church. There aren't any prayers printed, so you just have to follow along with me as we pray. And I invite you to rise for the prayers of the church. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God of heaven and earth, we pray that you would bless and keep all of the tents in which you choose to dwell. By faith, we carry you with us. We did not choose you, but you chose us. We pray that we would be both blessed and a blessing to all those we encounter. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, for those who are homeless, without tents even, those who need to find shelter from the storms, from the rain, from the cold, we pray that you would open the hearts of your people to gather with them, to provide for them, to help when help is needed. We pray for all of those we know who struggle with other storms of life, those who struggle with addiction, loneliness, depression, anxiety. We pray, Heavenly Father, that in those storms, your Holy Spirit would enter in and bring calm, comfort, and hope. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, for those who are in need of health and healing, a lot of times we say, especially during this season, but the season isn't dependent. We pray, Heavenly Father, for Betty, for Luda, for Mark, for Paula, for Linda, for Don, Lloyd, Corrine, Dorothy, for Lee and Donna, for John, Truman, Alma, Barbara, Vern, for Jerry, for Inga, for Amber, for Julie. Heavenly Father, be the great physician. Bring healing, bring hope, bring comfort, bring peace. Lord, in your mercy. For our world, Heavenly Father, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, as the Prince of Peace. We pray, as we sang in our hymn today, that you would bring all of the divisions between mankind to an end, that you would unite the hearts of all people in one. Heavenly Father, we pray for all of the areas of the world where there is armed conflict and violence, where there is death and destruction, and for all the places where there is conflict in the home, between families, between friends, between members of the congregations, between pastors. Heavenly Father, we pray that that day when all conflicts cease, when all sorrow ends, when all tears are wiped away, we pray that that would be soon. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Heavenly Father, for all those who travel, we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would watch over and keep all those who travel during these busy times, that you would guide and lead them in safety, that you would make their reunions joyful and celebrations for your glory. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And the peace of the Lord be with you. Take a moment and share God's peace with those around you.